drive.
Joining in the salute to our flag, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our deputy clerk slash public information officer will take the roll call.
All right.
Yeah, that would be you.
I'll get there.
Hold them up.
Just read the names.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Here.
Councilmember Birch?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Contrary to popular opinion, I really am here tonight.
All accounted for.
All present.
Thank you, Council.
Who says next two council meetings I will not be here?
Yes. I stand corrected. If I said council meetings, I meant committee meetings.
Your dedication is admired.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can address the City Council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, we would grant you 3 minutes, and you come forward, do your name and address, and address the Council with what you would wish. Any takers? Any takers? Yes, sir. Welcome. You may come forward.
Okay, I may have done this before, but pretend I didn't. Okay, I'm Papa John, and I live at Malloy House on Malloy Avenue. What a coincidence. Anyhow, I spare no expense in giving you a gift that is not priceless. Just say, it's almost that, don't. What the heck is it?
Cheap.
Hope it's nominal value.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I've always wondered one.
Yeah. It's worth a fortune. That's what it is. Okay, now again tonight I'm going to do my usual horizontal and vertical. And I've got the horizontal fun puns kind of thing. Now somebody's going to take a little bit of thinking, okay? Now you should get this easily because you're the finance director. If I give 15 cents to a daughter and 10 cents to a son, what time is it? The answer is simple, it's 1:45. Okay, now see, did you get that? All right. Now, if you throw a white stone into the Red Sea, what will it become? A white stone in the Red Sea. Very good. The answer is wet. We have a winner. You get a free trip to someplace exciting like Blaine. If two is a company and three is a crowd, what are 4 and 5?
Nine.
There you go. Now there's another winner. We've got two winners. Okay. If 12 makes a dozen, how many make a million?
A million.
And the answer is very few. Okay. If butter's $5 a pound in Seattle, what are window panes in Ferndale? And the answer is glass. Kind of obvious, isn't it? All right. Now they go from the mundane and the ridiculous and the absurd to the serious now. And I did have this in my mind before I was aware of some issues that relates to this tonight. But there's three major things I want to talk about in this. And the one is, if life gets too hard for you to stand, try kneeling. Another one is, those who put everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. And the third, and I've been there, probably every one of you in this room who are adults at least have been there, where you've had to deal with grief. And I know that that's an issue right now in the room. Listen to these words. Grief never ends, but it changes. It's a passage, not a place to stay. Now get this now. Grief is not a sign of weakness nor a lack of faith. Grief is the price of love.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience like to come forward and speak?
Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Council, the consent agenda is before you.
Move to accept.
Second.
Okay, move and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, presentation on capital projects update.
Welcome.
Thank you. Main Council, my name is Katie Ratter. I'm the project manager for Public Works.
Do you play golf?
No.
You just wear the slacks.
I pick what I'm going to wear to council real early in the morning before I have a chance to have any coffee. So.
Good
So there's funding sheets, some budgetary expenditure stuff going around the room. We've finished up some pretty significant projects. And so I thought it'd be good to just kind of go over the financial parts of those. So first on the list is Church Road. And there's one spreadsheet dedicated to Church Road. There's been some stuff that's kind of been fluid as far as the financing goes for that project. I think the last bit of construction work got finished on Saturday, and one little bit of extruded curb that we owe the gentleman up there on Church Road, so that finally got done. So as you'll see, Church Road, it was financed through some different funding sources. First was our federal grant through SDP funds. When we started the construction on the project, we had just over $1.9 million from the feds. Just this year, we were able to transfer some money that we had through right-of-way costs that we had left over, and then we were able to recoup $220,000, I think I reported on that. So you'll see that that basically increased that federal grant for the construction portion by just over $300,000. So that's that first line. The second funding source that the city used for this project was through the Transportation Improvement Board. Now, when we went out to, when we started construction in 2014, TIB initially awarded us $800,000 in grant funds. And basically, at the time of award to the contractor, they assess based on how the bids come back. And so because bidding was very favorable, they reduced our grant amount to $724,000 and change. You'll see that under the 2014 column. As time goes on, we're finishing out the project. Costs are a little bit more than we expected. So we're actually going to be asking TIB to at least make us whole as far as that $800,000 grant goes. We're actually going to ask for a little bit more than that. So worst case scenario, I don't think it's any problem for us to get that $75,000 back. So that's outlined there. City of Ferndale, I broke out basically the funds that the city pays through the regular storm, water, sewer, the various funds, and then the TBD, because that's a separate entity. So we had $270,000 plugged in for TBD, and then with the increase and the assumed increase for the TIB, we're basically saving the city, or we're getting an extra $376,000. So that's what that kind of is. On the flip side of that, the expenditures, in 2014 when we awarded the contract, our contract award plus the contingency amount was just over $3.4 million. Our expenditures to date, and that's pretty close to final, was $3.5. If you remember back in January, I believe it was, I came back to you and asked for an additional $160,000 for street trees and some additional costs. So that's covering that $107,000, which we're showing is over. The good thing with that is, and I think I went over that in January, is we're saving on our inspection and construction engineering costs. So Reichart and EB, our contract with them wasn't the full $440,000. We're just about at $390,000-some. City of Ferndale labor costs, we spent a little bit more time on the project than we initially anticipated, and that's outlined there, mostly because we had to overwinter the project, so those costs are shown. Those city labor costs are actually, they're reimbursable through the state TIB, so that's where some of that funding's coming from. WashDOT, because it's a Fed project, they have to oversee our work, so we threw in $15,000. It was much less than that, so we only spent about $2,000. And then miscellaneous construction costs, we budgeted about $135,000. We spent just under 50, and that's for streetlight installation, utility relocation, and some landscaping costs. So basically, bottom line, if you look at the lower right-hand box there, we have $19,000 sitting in there. So basically, we're within budget by about just under 20 grand. So I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Councilperson Goodrich?
Now, if we get the extra money from the TIB, where would that go, or how does that offset?
Basically, that reduces the city's costs out of its storm, street, or not street, I keep saying street, storm, water, some sewer, just because TIB, they fund road projects, so there's very little sewer expenses that can be covered. It'll cover our labor.
So the city part will go down, so basically we still end up with the 19 plus.
Right. We're within budget by 19,000, but basically any money that we get from TIB will reduce the city's. It'll reduce the city's the amount that the city's pitching in.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm so we do have some paperwork that we need to close out. I know we need to finish up some stuff with TIB, so we're working on that. But pretty much, other than that, the project is complete. Let's see. So next on my list, second page that went out, Sterling Sewer Replacement. That project was wrapped up here a couple months ago. We had about $23,000 budgeted for design, and we were within, you know, close to 30 bucks of the budget on that, so that was good. Our construction contract with contingency was $160,000. We spent about $131,000, so we saved roughly $30,000. Our inspection and engineering support, that's our contract again with Reichert Navy. We had budgeted about $28,000. We spent about $19,000. So bottom line on this project is we're going to have about $37,000 to put back into this. So did okay on that one too. Any questions on that project? All right. The Vista Washington House demolition. Basically, we put that contract together in-house. We didn't have a lot of expenditures there. We did have to spend about $900 with Geotest to do some soils things. If you remember, we had to pull a heating oil tank, so we had some money to spend there. Our construction contract with contingency was $65,500. We spent $55,000, so we were under budget by about $8,700. Last on the financial list is the Gateway Main Street South project, otherwise known as the Cost Cutter Storm Pipe. And so our design budget, we were under by about $1,300 there. Our construction contract with contingency was at about $210,000. We were under that by more than $50,000, so we were able to stay on budget there. That was good. And then our inspection engineering support is right around what we budgeted. So all told, it's right around $54,000 that we'll have left over for that project. So, try to be careful with the taxpayers' money. So I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Any other questions for Katie? Other than you're all very thankful that she's frugal with your money.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. You add that all up. So next on the list as far as reports go, Pump Station 4, which is our sewer pump station, that's our sanitary sewer pump station, we awarded that project. There's not a lot of work going on. There's a bunch of ordering that needs to be done, the pumps, the controls, the electrical, all that stuff, so there's kind of a long waiting list. Last week we did actually remove a fuel tank down there on that site, and so that tank is gone, and we're basically waiting until about August for real construction to start. So if anybody has any questions for that, we're still on schedule. The October 23rd deadline for completion.
No issues with the fuel tank leaking or anything?
No, when they pulled the tank, there didn't appear to be any obvious signs that the tank had leaked. Part of the contract subcontractor was to do a site assessment. So basically they take, I think it's 5 samples, each wall of the tank and the bottom to confirm that there's no contaminated soils. It needs to come back as a non-detect because then any material that gets pulled out would have to go to a site, an appropriate disposal site. So we want to make sure that that's okay. We'll probably get those results back in a couple of weeks, but we didn't have any indication that there would be an issue with that. We'll find out more on the test results. You want that? Nope. Okay. Brown Road Culvert, so again, that's to remove a couple of existing culverts there just west of the Burlington Northern Railroad tracks. On Brown Road and replace with a big square box culvert, similar to what we did on Main Street. Work started today. Right around, you'll see some detour signs there. The detour to the north sends people up Portaway, Grandview, back down Vista Drive, and then the southern route includes 2nd Avenue and through town. So you see some kind of strange detour areas. But just a reminder, the actual barricades go up tomorrow. So there's actually quite a few people that use that crossing. So if that's you, go drive that way. Drive further. Any other questions on that? I know this has come up. This is not really a project that we have, but it'll benefit the city eventually. The Transportation Improvement Board is working directly with Into Light, and they have a program that they're starting, and it'll be in effect over the next 6 years, where they're working with small cities, working their way up in size to the larger cities, where they're taking the existing street lights, which are very expensive to operate because they're incandescent bulbs, basically, and they're transferring them to LED lights. So basically, we have to do nothing. I did call and ask them when the city is on the list. And initially, the first year to 2 years, they're going to be working with the very small cities. And so Ferndale's on the schedule for probably in the next 2 to 3 years. We're high on the list, the top third in the medium-sized cities. But we've got to be patient. So basically, when I talked to the InterLight folks, they said that once this work is complete, the city should see about a 20 to 25% reduction in the power bill for streetlights, which is pretty significant.
Is there any way we can get any type of a rebate for the lights that we already paid for on Church?
Those are already LED lights.
I know they are. But we paid for those.
Right.
And now they're doing this retrofit program for free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just greedy. I just want a little more money out of them.
I could ask, but I'm almost 100% sure that they'd say no.
They just laugh.
Katie, can you go back to the Brown Road thing? How long is that going to be closed?
The project itself is 30 working days, which works out to be about a month and a half.
Okay.
The contractor has a pretty aggressive schedule for that. They're thinking that they're going to be done the end of August. So I would give it about the end of August.
Okay.
I'm hoping that they'll get done before that.
Was there talk about the railroad was going to be doing something to that same place? Or?
Yeah, BNSF is actually having a... They have to. They're getting some of their work done. I actually talked to a guy from Strider who was the successful bidder on that project, and so BNSF is waiting to get their permits. They can't actually do work in the wetland areas or put in any. They need to put in some box culverts as well, and so it happens that Brown Road is one of those sensitive areas that they need their permit to come through on. So I have a copy of Strider's schedule, and Brown Road isn't anticipated to get underway that area specifically until November. So as far as our project goes, it shouldn't interfere. They are starting though here probably the beginning of August. The gentleman I talked to with Strider was asking about access off Alder Grove Road because what they're doing is they're installing another set of tracks. And so Strider's contract is to go in there and cut subgrade and raise and fill and put in the sub ballast. So they're starting in kind of fits and starts in the areas that they can get to without needing the permit. And Alder Grove Road is one of those. But if you have questions, questions.
That's going to be a real mess for a while, and it sounds like we'll open it back up only to shut it back down again. Well, we won't be shutting it back down. They will.
Right. The public won't make the difference necessarily. But, right.
And then they may not want to reopen it.
Too bad.
It's hard for the deputy clerk to take down all the snarky mumbling unless it's into the microphone. So.
That's why we don't say it into the microphone. The last thing I had was generally I stand up here and everybody asks me about the crack ceiling, and I have this great little story to tell about the county helping us out, and it'll
all
be good.
What about the crack ceiling?
Well, so the county was helping us out. I approached them about a month and a half ago, and they're like, sure, we'll come up with a cost estimate for you. And I got a telephone call last week, and basically the person I was working with, his supervisor went out and looked at Main Street and saw how much traffic is out there, and I think it scared them. And they said, we can't help you. And so, I was a little disappointed in that, to say it mildly, I guess. So right now we're about a month and a half behind where we would have been if we were told that up front. So I apologize. But we are putting together a contract to get that out as soon as we can to go out to a private contractor to do that. So anyway, we're hoping to do Main Street, and then we're also looking at, and that's Main Street east and west of the freeway, and the west side of the freeway would be from I-5 southbound on and off to about 3rd. And then on the east side of the freeway would be from, they call it the turnback, but basically BNSS right away at Barrett Road all the way out to city limits.
Has the traffic increased that much since the last time they did it?
I don't know that the county's ever done that, but I don't think
I thought they've helped us on other stuff.
They've done chip sealing for us. I'm not aware of crack sealing. Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do paint. Yeah, I was very surprised actually to see that.
Well, someday they'll want something from us.
I doubt it. So anyway, there's a setback on that. I apologize for that, but we're working through it. Other than that, standard stuff. You know, we've got LaBounty Sewer is being designed. Malloy Sewer, we're working on getting a design for that, so we can get that done before school gets back in. And then Pump Station 2 and 3 is still on schedule for 2016. We did get our money for Washington Street, the St. Rasta School, so that'll occur in 2016 as well. And Wendy's 3rd Avenue project. So that's from Main Street South, about a block. She got money for that, so that's set up for next year as well. Okay.
Any questions? Councilperson Watson?
Are you doing anything with the Meadows, or is it kind of on their own at this point with what they're doing with the work?
There's some, me specifically, there's some coordination I've helped out as far as...
we have a staffer who's kind of watching, or are they...
Definitely we do, and Greg can tell me to cool it here in a minute if I don't say the right thing, but basically city staff has worked with them on their traffic control plan. I know that we're working on, because the city's cost sharing and some of those utility improvements, I know that there was a meeting to discuss those costs. We do have a city staff person. Larry's our infrastructure inspection guy. He's anytime there's something that goes on, he can contact. Wilson's been hired and involved in doing day-to-day inspection that Larry oversees whenever there's an issue. I know there was a concern about equipment starting up early, so both Art and Larry in the office are dealing with that. I know Greg's been working with the developer, and then Riley's been helping out as far as doing notifications on their traffic control as well. So
I'm also concerned that it was going to go until the end of August, and when the school starts, and when are the teachers going to start to get back into the middle school?
They are aware of the time requirements. Right. And similar to Church Road, if basically you have business in that closure area, What a closure does is it allows the contractor to be more efficient with their work because you're not having to deal with, you know, one lane of traffic back and forth. And so by allowing them to close that, the contractor feels it can help speed up the effort. But if we get to be later in the year and teachers need access to the school, then they do have flaggers on each end of the closure area to direct folks in and out safely.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any more questions for Katie? Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Council, the agenda shows the six-year financial plan. Right out of that is a discussion on the nonprofit community uses and then the other general stuff in an executive session. We're hoping to pull the discussion on the nonprofit community use of the Pioneer Pavilion. We've got lots of comments and messages that I wasn't able to get to today, but those groups want to talk some more, so let's move that back to committee. I'd like to ask your forgiveness. I'd like to turn the gavel over to Councilperson Watson. I've had a tragedy in my circle, and I have some people coming from out of town that are at my home, and I'd like to go meet with them. So thank you all, and thank you all for your thoughts.
Next discussion, your financial plan review, Mr. Peterson. Good evening, Council, staff, and the public. Mark Peterson, your finance director. One of the things the City Council has approved a few years ago was to implement and adopt financial management policies. One of those policies requires the finance director to come and do a six-year look ahead financial plan on all of our funds. I've done that in typically July and then budget time. On the website, recently posted, and thank you, Riley, is the latest six-year financial plan. It just looks out 6 years, projected revenues, projected expenses for all of our funds, including water, sewer, storm, street, and all the bond, debt service funds, and all that stuff. It's on the website for review. But tonight, I want to review just the general fund. In your packet, pages, well, I don't have a packet because I'm trying to cut costs.
Page 36.
Okay, thank you. Very live audience here. And I have paper copies tonight as well. I have some for the public here and any council people that need one or two.
I need one.
It's just three pages tonight, so we'll go through this briefly. Again, general fund, without adding any new expenditures that are not authorized, not adding any new revenues that are not recognized. I have four columns here on the first page, the revenue page for general fund. The first column is the actual 2014 performance, the actual numbers. Middle column there, and the next one is the budget as amended through July. And then my estimate for 2015, my best guess after 6 months of data, and then showing an estimate for 2016 on the revenues. You'll note that on page one, the latest budget for this year is right about $8.7 million in revenues, and my latest estimate is just about the same number. It's just down like a grand. So there's not a whole lot of movement in total on the revenues. And then basically the same number for 2016, excluding a $200,000 vendor fund loan repayment. So not a lot of movement at this point. Now, things, if they continue this year, especially on the residential and commercial permit side and fees, those revenues for this year could go up substantially. I'm very reluctant to grab a bigger number, having only 6 months for the data. Page two on the expenditures, again, same format. We ended up, and this also shows the net, if you will, balance. We don't say profit or loss, net revenues over expenditures. But 2014, we ended the year excluding our fund loans with a surplus of $262,000. Very pleased with that number for 2014, and mostly those are revenues. And our budget through the fifth budget update for this year shows a negative of $158,000, and two things driving it: the loss of the jail credits. For 10 years, we got a jail credit of about $70,000. 10 years was up, and so we don't get that anymore. Plus, a 7% increase in the fire district bill. Huge compared to inflation. So those two are the big things that contribute to the projected deficit for 2015 this year. Looking at the third column, my latest estimate shows right about $99,500 projected deficit. And again, that deficit could shrink substantially if the revenues continue to be quite strong with the residential and commercial permits and fees. And then, again, about the same number projected for a loss for 2016 without adding any more resources, keeping what we have. And so that's kind of the projection for next year. The third page shows the general fund cash balance, and bottom row there says percent of reserves goal. We have reserves set aside in our financial management plans. And you can see those reserves in that middle section, what they are. And for this year's forecast, our reserve goal is $1,852,000. And our projection for cash balance with all those five funds that really do make up the general fund. When we do our annual financial report, we have to combine those five funds, which includes solid waste tax, left one fund to fund our three retired police officers. So this year, projecting 111% of our reserve goal, which is healthy, and preserving next year right at 100% of our reserve goal, even with a $100,000 deficit. But if you keep looking at the out years, we're shrinking in terms of cash balance compared to our reserve goal. Now, I'm really not too worried about it as your finance director. Again, revenues might come in strong the second half this year. And you heard the word big box. Big box lands could potentially cure this problem. So that's my mid-year report. Any questions?
Questions, Captain?
You said the fire went up 7%?
Yes, sir.
Did they give any explanation, or they just tell us?
It's just the math. It's the assessed value within the city limits versus the assessed value of the entire district.
And we're still fighting the refinery thing, right?
Well, I don't think we're fighting it.
Well, yeah.
Somebody,
because it's not been resolved.
Board of Equalization is hearing. I don't know if they're actively hearing, but to be heard on the county assessors, or the county assessors' challenge with the assessment by the refineries, by the industries, the two refineries and Alcoa. I don't know that Alcoa is a big problem, but it's the refineries, one if not all, both. They simply challenge the county's assessed value.
Do we have any idea when that's going to be heard?
they're hoping sometime this year, which is not really much of an estimation.
Now, of course, we see relief in the future.
We voted already.
It's a done deal. So we think as early as 2016, right? We'll get out of this annual holding our breath how much the fire district bill is going to go up. Our property tax receipts will go way down by the amount that was allocated and aligned with the fire district. The fire district will get those real estate taxes directly. So we will hopefully won't have that huge problem every February when I come to you and say, we got the fire district bill, now we're underwater. So, and hopefully someday we'll see a rebate consulting board of equalization decision. Good question.
Councilman
Hessler,
then Goodrich.
Yeah, a statement and a question of staff. The statement is that it's important that the public might hear 7% as if the fire department is increase their budget by 7%. That's just our bill. Fire district still contained within the 1% annexation, things like that. They're not raising their budget 7%. It's just how it's parceled out with the taxes. The question is, does the timing of our leaving as customer status of the district, becoming members of the district, kind of affect this whole thing? I mean, right now we have a higher bill. Is this a good time to get out or a bad time to get out? It seems like it's a timing thing for us.
it's almost like I think the stock market, I don't think you can really pick a good time or a bad time. It's all in hindsight. But going back to the question about the right now the appeal of the valuations, one of the things that should the county prevail on that and the assessments of the fire, of the refineries hold at the higher level, what I'm going to be doing is right now because the valuation of the refineries went down and our valuation went up, our bill went up substantially, well, if they prevail, I want them to go back and calculate what our property tax loss, because right now, if it's $1,522,000 that we paid to the fire district, right now, next year, that'll come off the expenditures, but it'll also come off our revenue of $1,005,000. Well, if it should have been $1,475,000, I want to go back in time and say that's what the modification to the property tax offset the fire district joining should have been, and then calculate the 1% based on that.
If that occurs, there should be the property owner, the citizen, us. We're going to have two lines now instead of one. The city line, now the fire district.
Right.
That whole thing could be less at the end of the day.
It could very well be. We'll have to wait to see what the equalization boards say.
I'm sure you talked about this before, but I just don't remember. With the removal of the fire district from our budget, you know, having to pay the bill, you just said, well, if it's $1,005,000, we paid the fire district, our revenue will go down $1,005,000. But is it really that? Because if we saw a 7% increase, did we get a 7% increase in rate, or did the city have to make that up?
We had to make that up.
And therefore, what effect is that really going to have on our budget next year by not having to deal with the fire district bill?
Equal numbers off property tax revenue, equal numbers off fire district expense.
Yeah, I think the
time doing it.
One of the things is going to be certainty. Come November, we'll be able to tell you what our property tax is going to be next year, what we think our expenditures. We're not going to have to wait until February and say, oh, by the way, now we have a fire district extra expense. So you're not going to have that February surprise that we've had in the past years. So there's a little more certainty when it comes to our budget, that the budget you set in November, December will be less modified because we won't have that surprise from the fire district. But the other one is, going back to what we just mentioned, if they are successful, then we should be able to, the deduction in our property tax won't be as much as what it perhaps shows here. So when you look on the line that says fire district, $1,522,000, if that appeal did not exist next year, we would not pay the $1,522,000, but we also would not collect the $1,522,000, so it's a wash. That number will hopefully be somewhat less if they do prevail, because we should be able to say, instead of taking $1,522,000 off of our property tax, it should have been X, which is hopefully somewhat lower than that. But for the taxpayer, really, they're not going to see any difference. I think, as Councilmember Mutchler said, instead of just seeing one line for the city of Ferndale, you're going to see two lines, a smaller number for the city of Ferndale on your tax bill, and then a small number, which together will be about the same for the fire district.
Councilmember? John brought up a good point, and I think his was going in a different direction, not quite as far, and Brent brought up, but I still don't think I got the answer. If the citizens are paying it in their property tax, and the city's collecting it right now, and then paid to the fire department, when it comes to a refund, does that make its way back to the guy who paid it to begin with?
No.
Okay. I'd like a little bit more. Why?
Okay. Usually I say too much, so I figure I'd try just the real succinct.
Doesn't work.
You will be, we, as I mentioned, we will hopefully have an adjustment in our favor insofar as we may get, I'll make up a number, it's 10,000, 50,000, I don't know what it would be. So some number of property tax that was taken away from us that should not have been taken away from us if the appeal is successful. Now, practically, you could, the most that, that the council can do is take a zero increase in property tax. You can't give it back. You can't say, do the math and say everyone in town, or not everyone, but you know, you get $4, you get $12, you get
but
based
it,
on your valuation.
It should be a simple thing on the evaluation. If we're talking about those people had to shell out more money in order to come up with this
right.
this thing.
Right.
Why doesn't it trickle back?
Well,
other than no.
Other than it being very difficult to do, the other answer is we were only able to increase our property taxes by 1% more than we collected in the prior year. And we've done that for most all the years. When the fire district bill goes up by 7% or sometimes perhaps even more than that in some years, we aren't able to either go back and collect that in property tax, nor can we collect more in the future. In essence, we...
Okay, so the city shelled it out.
Yes, we've
okay.
taken that okay. out of That's some, of, just out of our reserves.
All right.
Is the easiest way to explain it.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the only guy who thought of that, and that just explained
right.
why the little guy is getting back $2 next year.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
So, same line of thinking of Mr. Olson is, if I happen to own my home just outside the city limits or anywhere in the fire district, I could be getting a check back because I'm the customer. I'm the person that owns the property. If the city gets a rebate with the settlement with the county, because we're the ones paying the fire department, it'll be an adjustment to all the other taxpayers who are in the fire district but not in the city, I would think.
Well, it really depends.
If the county prevails.
No, it's the fire. It's the fire district.
Yeah.
That will get the rebate.
Right.
It's not going to go to the individual taxpayer.
Fire district doesn't get a different amount. They still get their pie. It stays the same. It's not changed by the evaluation of the refinery.
Right.
Just, right.
Yeah. What it would do is, if they prevail, then everyone out in the district, not in the city,
yes,
should have had a slightly lower tax rate. So instead of, you know, 42 cents, it probably should have been 41 cents per thousand or something like that. Now, whether the fire district wants to make that up by, say, taking a 0% property tax increase, that would have the effect of kind of giving it back by not taking it in the second
but
year.
But they're not affected at all by any of this. Fire district collects the same amount. It grows with new construction and the 1%.
Right.
They, in a sense, they could care less what the evaluation of my house, the city of Ferndale, the refiners. It has nothing to do with their revenues at all.
Yeah, because they collect a dollar.
Same dollar amount.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Any more questions for Mark? Thank you, Mark.
Just one quick last statement I'll sit on. The general trend on our cash balance as it goes down over the years, and you saw that, some of the challenges are, I've assumed a 1% property tax increase on the revenue side and moderate growth in sales tax and utility taxes, meaning 2-3% per year. On the cost side, we've had some settlements, some union settlements late recently. Well, in addition to one, now the police got a 1% for a future, they're 2.5% and then 2.75% in the next 3 years, including this year. 2-3% for non-revs. I think the smaller union, the machinists, are somewhere around, as I recall, 3%. But as these settlements occur, and as we look at our medical insurance probably going up, I'm assuming 6%. These cost increases are kind of hard to make the balance, make the budget balance. You know, with a 1% property tax, a big chunk of our revenue. And, of course, we're so dependent on sales tax. And this year, we're down about 5% from June, so it's a little worrisome on the sales tax side. So just looking at those, balancing the revenue growth with the cost growth, it's squeezing cash over the years, as you can see.
Thank you. Cal, we just want to confirm that everyone's comfortable with moving the nonprofit discussion back to committee.
Sure.
Thank you so much. No mayor reports, council reports?
Thank you.
Well, I just wanted everybody to know that our mayor pro tem wrote a grant request that we was awarded to the City of Burndale Arts Commission. And if anybody missed the fantastic performance by the youth summer theater group at the high school this last week, shame on you. I have never had a better time in the City of Ferndale for $5 ever. That was the most fantastic play, one of the most fantastic, talented kids I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't believe what they did in 3 weeks. Just amazing, absolutely amazing. It was more than worth going to. It was one of those you shouldn't have missed it things.
And for the record, they raised about $2,000, which will help pay for next year's camp. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, we are sending to the voters Proposition 1, which is the Metropolitan Parks District. We voted to send to the voters Proposition 1 in November, which is the Metropolitan Parks District. I don't think, talking to Riley today, I don't think of anybody for a pro statement. I think that would be unfortunate that would occur. So maybe there would be someone from council that could do that, or we could find someone. It would seem a bit, it's a pleasant word, just awkward that we've sent some to the voters and nobody is writing in favor of it. So maybe that's just something someone could consider doing so that the voters understand why we sent that to them.
I know Susan has tried. She's reached out to a lot of people. And you put it on Facebook? It's been on the city's website?
We have a few leads. We have no yeses.
How about the con side?
We have some volunteers for that.
I mean, there's not much you can do. You know, you ask people to try and find someone for the pro side. I mean, county council's going to be in the same position for all the charter review stuff, trying to find enough people to...
They have plenty of people. I'll check. they have plenty. Coming on the woodwork when they're laying on those things.
Well, if anyone knows anyone who'd like to be on the pro committee for the Metropolitan Parks District, just let Riley know.
We need 4 paragraphs.
That's it.
Four paragraphs. It would be a great civic experience and a credit to our community.
I think that'd be worth extra credit.
Yeah.
Anything else, Council?
Two things. One is I attended the fire district meeting this month, and the roundabout at LaBounty and Walgreens came up. And their comment was, please include us in the discussions because they were not happy with the roundabout on Vista. And that has turned into a nightmare for them at times. They just said, you know, please include us in the deal because we want to make sure that we get through it, which they said they can't sometimes at Vista. The other thing, to make it perfectly clear, I will not be at the next committee meeting. So I'll need somebody to fill in for me on both the two committees. I'll be in Alaska with my daughter getting her situated in her new Coast Guard duty station at Sitka.
There'll be someone there. I think. Anything else, Council? All right. Riley, anything from our Communications Director, Public Information Officer, General Duties Officer?
It's Old Settlers Days.
No.
Get the word out. That's all.
Okay.
Working on a bunch of items.
Finance Director?
Yeah.
City Administrator?
Yeah. excuse me. A couple little things I want to kind of run through here. we continue to work up at the library. There's two issues still they're working on is the automated doors. They put on new openers, but they're coming back to actually do a little bit more work. Right now there's a little temporary dog brace that goes in place to keep the doors operating, but I think it is actually working a little better, so we're going to continue to do that. For the crosswalk, we actually got a line on a grant that ConocoPhillips is interested in giving the city for potentially the crosswalk at the library, in front of the library, so we're having our engineers work up a cost estimate so I can get back to the folks at Phillips to talk about the grant as far as putting a center refuge island in and possibly even the flashing lights and hit the button, it flashes and kids move across the way there. So that's kind of ongoing. For the pizza annex, if you remember, we had that structural analysis done, and the next step was to engage Mr. King, David King, who's the architect, to see how much it would be to actually sit down on a feasibility standpoint and talk to a lot of the stakeholders and find out if that building can be reconfigured for a reasonable amount of money into our use. And so we've gotten a quote for that. It's approximately $10,000. So we're going to be moving forward to see if that building is worth saving. And this will give us, I believe, the definitive answer as to whether, if it can be saved, if it can be reused in its current footprint and meet our needs, or whether it would need to be expanded, and therefore, which leads you to the idea if we need to expand it, perhaps it would be cheaper just to get rid of it altogether. So those are the kind of the decision trees that we're going to be coming up here rather quickly. For the police department, we continue to work on the replacement of the carpet. That's been an ongoing issue. We think we're making some headway on that, so we'll have to see. And last, on the meadows, that came up earlier under capital projects. If you do remember, we do have a cost-sharing agreement. Some of the costs are shared with the developer. In fact, the majority of the costs are shared with the developer. Some of the costs of the gravity line, which he won't be using, but he will, is just our costs. We have engaged Wilson Engineering to do all the inspection, and they'll be there on a daily basis checking things out. The first phase of the metals was actually the design, and the design component, the developer covered all up to a certain dollar amount, and then we cost shared. So we met last week, now that the design is over and they're actually constructing. So we met last week and we're finalizing all the design costs, and we can have all those costs settled and then move into the construction phase kind of with those costs known. So it's if you've been over there, it is closed. They are working quite diligently down there, and so we continue to be working with the developer, going to the construction meetings, just making sure that all of our folks are out there on site checking everything, and it seems to be progressing.
Any questions? Okay.
The crosswalk issue. I thought we just had a city employee here telling us we had too many crosswalks and we needed to abandon some. Now we're going to make a new one.
Oh, no, the crosswalk is there. It's the one right in front of the front door. It's not really a mid-block crosswalk, but it kind of is because I forget the name of the road that comes
off
in.
Off Sterling.
The Sterling comes in right there, and so there is a crosswalk at that point. And we've had some close calls with some of the kids. Because you tend to kind of come up over the hill, even though it's not really much of a hill. A little bit of a rise when you come down to towards City Hall, and so we're hoping that by putting, and you've all seen these little center refuge islands with little concrete with, you know, something there. It just kind of lets people, it's just almost psychological. The colloquial term is it's street furniture. Where you see something in the street, you actually slow down because there is something that you could theoretically hit.
Is there an option, kind of, if you know the northwest by Albertsons, that giant, somebody pushes it and all hell breaks loose with lights?
Exactly.
Is that something that...
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. You're almost to the point of no return. And
right. So, yeah, with the ConocoPhillips coming forward and wanting to one of their areas of emphasis is public safety, and so this was a great project. And again, we're going to be visiting more this week. But with their contributions, I think we'll be able to do both. We'll be able to put in the center refuge island and some sort of flashing push-activated buttons
that you can hear or see before you get...
Exactly. Yeah, they'd be mounted up higher.
In the last 2 weeks, 9 cars. Well, someone had stepped off the curb and crossed. 9 cars went before somebody decided to stop.
Right.
So it's a real issue.
Yeah.
It's also a violation of the law.
Any other questions for Greg? All right, I have a question for you for the executive session. Are we going to be taking action, and how much time do you need?
We will not be taking... Let me check my notes here to be sure. We're not going to be taking action. Yes, we will. We potentially could. And it should probably take 20 minutes.
All right.
That means 35.
All right.
I forgot Yori and the chief.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Jory. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I do have a couple different things. First, generally speaking, you folks do a good job of this, I think, but just to again remind you, When you find out that there's been an appeal of an administrative decision, make sure that you let us know, because that is the final decision of the city. It then goes to the hearing examiner. So as much as you might want to negotiate, please don't with the appellant, because we need to be able to move it forward from there. Moving on from that, we have a couple of presentations on the comp plan updates and urban growth area look-see. City Club on Wednesday, that's in Bellingham at noon. We're presenting with the City of Bellingham and the City of Linden, actually answering questions. Then on Thursday, the County Planning Commission at 6:30 at the County Courthouse is going to be hearing our presentations on our recommendation for the urban growth area. The week after, Riley, am I right? And I don't have the exact date. We're meeting with the senior center during the day.
August 4th,
August
I believe.
4th, yes, so it'll be 4th. The day after your next council meeting. And then lastly, I apologize because somehow this got into my spam filter, but for those of you that were at committee, we had initially thought that we might be talking about downtown seating, outdoor seating for restaurants at council tonight. The committee asked us to do some more research, so we're going to bring that back at a meeting to be announced. So my apologies if anyone came wanting to speak on that tonight.
Any questions for Mark? Chief Nick? All right. Pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G, we are going to enter into executive session for 30 minutes, and we may take action.